We don't have a ton of time, so I want to welcome in Chris Powell. You can go to chrispowellcolumn.com to read all of his stuff. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Brian. I'm good. Thank you.
I really appreciate you coming on. We originally wanted to talk about the ads with Harris and Logan in the 5th District, which have been, honestly, on both sides, really troubling. Because if you know, then you know how skewed they can be. But I actually want to start, if you don't mind, with what you wrote about today, because I've been focused a lot on Terrence Chang and you know, the chancellor of, what is it, the community colleges? Is it all universities?
Yeah, it's the Connecticut State Colleges and University System.
So it's like everything that's not UConn stores? Is that basically it?
No. These are the 4 state universities, and I guess we got 12 community colleges.
So he's the boss of all the bosses, then? He's the number one academic guy in the whole state?
No, just for the regional universities and the community colleges.
Okay.
He's the they call him the chancellor because president's not pretentious enough.
You know, my thing with this when I talked about it last week, and I know the governor's calling for a more thorough audit, is that I don't think he broke any rules of his work contract, but obviously the tone deafness and ridiculousness is pretty apparent. Do you think he's gone?
You know, the governor asking the state controller, Sean Scanlon, to do a formal audit of Cheng's expenses suggests to me that maybe the governor's paying a little more attention than he usually does to the malfeasance and incompetence we have in state government in Connecticut. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a move to get him to resign or to fire him. I'm not sure what he adds to educational administration in Connecticut, other than this embarrassment. He makes $442,000 a year in regular salary, and another $41,000 in fringe benefits. It's nearly $500,000 a year. And what's his genius? I don't understand. He pulls down this just spectacular money at the same time he's been lecturing the legislature and students and faculty about the poverty of the Connecticut State Colleges and Universities system. Other than this screaming irony and hypocrisy, I don't know what he contributes to Connecticut.
Yeah, and as you point out, there's a lot of people in Connecticut making a couple hundred thousand dollars that don't seem to necessarily add a lot of value too.
Yeah, well, that $200,000 doesn't bother much, but maybe when we're up to $500,000, we should pay a little attention.
Yeah, I think it's true. And, some of the benefits are like he gave up his Prius to get $24,000 car allowance. Man, you can get a nice car for $24,000 a year. And then, obviously, his main residence is not in Connecticut, but he gets a couple grand a month to keep an apartment here. And again, none of that stuff's against the rules of his employment. It's just, as you mentioned, when you have the potential cutting and gutting of, dozens of majors, and he's making all this money.
Those majors, those are at UConn, but there are similar cuts being made or contemplated in the universities and community colleges system. He hasn't apparently broken any laws. He's broken rules of good sense. But I think the bigger question here is not for Chang; it's for the board of the state universities and colleges system. I mean, what makes them think he's worth $500,000 a year?
Yeah.
And he's been making this kind of money for years now. I mean, this is extreme, but nobody has ever questioned it.
We're talking with Chris Powell. Again, you can read his columns at chrispowellcolumn.com if you want to see all of them. And originally we reached out because of the, George Logan and Johanna Hayes have a heavily contested race in the 5th Congressional District. A lot of national money comes in, and a lot of the ads that people see are produced by national entities and not by the local candidates themselves. And you were very down the middle in your analysis of these ads. Just tell us a little bit about what you saw.
The Logan campaign, through the National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, has been hitting Hayes with a commercial complaining that she voted against a bill that would have made put fentanyl on the list of most dangerous drugs. And this ad showed, Hayes, smiling and laughing while they're talking about people dying of fentanyl, as if, she was laughing and smiling while fentanyl was under discussion. I mean, you know, she wasn't doing that. That was completely out of context. And nobody explained in the commercial, of course, why did Hayes vote against the bill? Well, the Hartford Courant called Hayes up and got an explanation. She said she voted against it because the bill had mandatory sentences, removed the discretion of judges to sentence people. It would have treated teenagers with a little fentanyl in their marijuana the same way as would have treated major fentanyl dealers, and she didn't think it was fair. Now, it was a reasonable explanation. You could agree or disagree with it, but it's not as if she didn't have a reason for voting against the bill, and she was hardly the only legislator who did vote against the bill. There are 160 other Democrats who voted against it. I think everybody knew it wasn't going to pass. It was just one of those, you know, show-off bills that one side uses against another for embarrassment purposes. Yeah. But then Hayes' campaign through the Democratic Congressional Committee hit back at Logan, accusing him of wanting to outlaw abortion nationally with Donald Trump's MAGA Republicans. It's completely untrue. Logan's position has always been a Roe versus Wade position. He said he wasn't going to vote to federalize Roe versus Wade, but he would support and defend Connecticut's abortion law, which is a Roe versus Wade position. The irony here is that the real extremists on abortion at the national level are not the Republicans. There's no Republican legislation in Congress to outlaw abortion. If there was, they'd have passed it already in the House. The real extremism on abortion nationally is the Democratic position, because nearly every Democratic member of Congress supports what they call the Women's Health Protection Act, which would nationalize late-term abortion. It would go beyond Roe versus Wade and repeal the authority of states to regulate abortion in any way. Roe versus Wade said that abortion was an individual right up to the viability of the fetus, and the state was okay to regulate and even prohibit abortion after viability. Well, it's the Democrats that want to destroy Roe versus Wade with the Women's Health Protection Act and legalize late-term abortion.
We don't have the time to go through that. I mean, that's a huge issue and a huge conversation. I think the punitive elements in some other states are what are also troubling and overlying all of it. But we got to run.
Well, sure, but that's a state issue.
Yeah. Well, that's what the courts rule, but not everyone shares that sentiment. But I don't want to get into it now. I'm not taking a stance on it. I'm just pointing it out. Listen, Chris, the writing, the topics are great, and I really appreciate you coming on. We are up against the clock here. We got to get to news. But again, you can go to chrispowellcolumn.com to read all of his stuff. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Ryan.